from the kingdom of God. Fine material part planets were given by God to the rebellious divine beings to take with them. Over unimaginable periods of time, these part planets have formed into the finer material macrocosm and the coarse material macrocosm, so that the rebellious beings would have a conditional dwelling place. Both macrocosms, the finer material and the coarse material, are therefore merely temporary. The material cosmos is the registry for the three-dimensional world, a world which fall beings and human beings created by turning away from God. As stated, in the material macrocosm, the so-called matrixes are found, energetic cocoons, for a possible new incarnation of a soul, so that this soul, as a human being, again finds the conditions of life on Earth that correspond to it in the three-dimensional world. This alternation of coming and going lies within the free will of the human being. The all-encompassing work of the Eternal Spirit, of the Cosmic All Consciousness. The Cosmic All Consciousness is the Spirit of Unity. As mentioned, it is active not only in all plant species, in every animal, in every tiny, inconspicuous living being, for example, in the microbes, everywhere, the All Spirit, the All Consciousness, is present. The substances of all minerals are also a part of the All Consciousness. Everything, but truly everything, contains the unending, everlasting life, which is the All Consciousness, and in which a continual evolution is at work. There is nothing that does not bear in itself the All Consciousness. Every atom, every molecule, the smallest component of the All, is a bearer of the All Consciousness, a bearer of the eternally effective life. All people and souls are part of the All Consciousness, the life. In the kingdom of God, on the other hand, all pure beings are compressed All Consciousness. Their spiritual body is divine, but they themselves are not God. The difference between being a part of it, that is, of belonging to the All Consciousness, and of being compressed All Consciousness, is the following, which I repeat: the material cosmos and the finer material cosmos are both energies that have been transformed down, they are split-offs from the kingdom of God. Both cosmoses are, as stated, only temporary. They serve the human beings and the souls, those beings that have turned away from the All Consciousness, from God. This turning away from God is also called sin. The nature kingdoms, all the minerals, all the forces of the earth, like animals, plants, minerals, etc., are not burdened. They were given to human beings for understanding, realization and for turning back and changing their ways, so that the people could find their way from egocentricity to the unity that is God, because all life belongs to the divine unity, in the very basis of his soul. The human being is part of the one root, the unity in God, in the very basis of his soul. The person is not from this world, his true being comes from the kingdom of God, the All Consciousness God, the eternal intelligence, and at some point in time, it will return again to its infinitely eternal roots of love, of unity, of peace and of freedom. And even if it is still such a very long way for the soul, it will, as all will, go the path of the purification of its guilt and through this, the path of forgetting, so that in the end, as a spirit being, it is again in the eternal Father's house, with God, its Father. Unfortunately, most people have not yet come to understand that they burden themselves, and thus, their soul, when they violate the unity, which is the life in God, that is, when they offend against people, against the cosmic unity, the nature kingdoms, the whole earth. Whoever thinks and acts against the life sins against the All Consciousness, the All Law, the Spirit of Freedom, of Unity, that is, he offends against the life. Many people are under the spell of science. But, in what way? Many are of the opinion that science must know the cosmic correlations. Scientists research and research, but until now, they have not yet fathomed the All Intelligence, the All Consciousness. They talk, for example, of the so-called black holes in the material cosmos and know that the black holes attract whole solar systems and that in them the energies are transformed, but the why and what for remain unanswered. The All Consciousness is the creating power, it is the creator, who is also incessantly active in entire spheres of the fall, transforming energies, that is, reshaping them, for the benefit of the eternal being, to which all of infinity belongs. With reference to the law of energetic transformation, the black holes can readily be described as cosmic sorting machines, which transform the energies of planet parts and even solar systems and then allocate them to the corresponding cosmos. These energies then go again into the coarse material macrocosm, or into the finer cosmos, depending on whether the life on Earth continues to spread or whether it can be led back into the infinitely eternal law, into the all consciousness. For example, if many animal species die or even die out and the same species does not appear again on the Earth, then stars and planets of the material macrocosm are attracted by the black holes and transformed into finer, energetic substances. Such changes in the material macrocosm are what we human beings call the dying of suns and planets. However, we cannot talk about dying in a negative sense. Nothing disappears from the great spectrum of life forms at the drop of a hat. Nothing dissolves into nothing. There is absolutely no such thing as nothing. It is a dying in the following sense: it ceases to be in one form, in order to become another, higher form of being, more radiant, shining, approaching its spiritual origin. The black holes thus magnetically attract those stars and planets that need to be transformed, because, for example, animal species are withdrawing from the Earth. Negative inputs from former human beings are also energetically transformed, because their souls have developed higher on the path of purification and of forgetting. In this way, too, stars and planets are transformed and led to higher consciousness. The creating spirit, the all consciousness, is untiringly active. He is effective in the finer material cosmos, where the souls are located. He is active in, on and over the Earth and in the material macrocosm. He is the helmsman of the forces, he is the transformer of energies into finer material substances, into fine material forces, or, even into coarser substances again, which he then allocates to the material macrocosm. This takes place, among other things, when souls incarnate or when individual nature genera again appear on the Earth, as, for example, animal or plant species. The development of awareness in greater contexts of meaning is called for. This is the reason for repetition. Whether the human being on Earth merely endorses formations and traditions, or whether he is a party to them, whether he takes profit from projects that are against the Earth with all its life forms and resources, and how much, everything, but really everything, is weighed, measured and recorded according to the activity of the individual. Dear readers, still many things, infinitely many things, could be said about the cosmic bookkeeping, the just registry of the all consciousness, on the topic of the human being, the microcosm in the macrocosm and on the soul in the purification planes, even if whole series of bookshelves were filled with details on the debit and credit sides, with the absolute justice of the all consciousness, it would not be possible to pass on everything, the path of forgetting, the path back to the eternal heavenly homeland for every soul. Let us engross ourselves more deeply in the topic of the path of forgetting. The path of forgetting is the path to the everlasting, seven-dimensional kingdom of God, to our eternal homeland, to the eternal, primordial roots of the divine being that pulses in the very basis of each soul. No matter how often and for how long we may walk the path of forgetting, the soul, via the planetary constellations of the finer material macrocosm or the human being in further incarnations, the path is given, because no energy is ever lost. We cannot bring to mind often enough the fact that our divine body and the very basis of our soul is eternal, cosmic energy, from the kingdom of God. For this reason, no soul will ever be lost. The path of forgetting is conveyed only by using simple words, because it is the path to the seven-dimensional eternal kingdom, the eternal fine material macrocosm, which cannot be described in detail by using our three-dimensional words and terms. In the life on Earth of human beings, everything is subject to the limitations of three dimensions, including our language. For this reason, what happened through the fall thoughts, by splitting off from the kingdom of God, will be given in simple language, insofar as it is possible to understand it. Any scientific embossing and mathematical formulas would only bring more confusion into the description of the great event, which, as stated, can only be implied with three-dimensional words. God is a just God. As long as the fall exists, His power of creation is concerned with support and help for His still-burdened children and with the transformation of the finer material macrocosm and of the material macrocosm, for these energies belong to the kingdom of God, the absolute macrocosm. As already mentioned, we people forget a lot in terms of our past. But not all of it has been paid off, annulled, transformed into higher forces, even if we can no longer remember it or don't want to remember it. Often, we don't want to believe or face what burdens our soul and body in connection to people, nature, animals and minerals, to all of the earth. The human being is shaped by the three-dimensional, that's just the way it is. His soul, on the other hand, is finer material. It is surrounded by the dimension that it radiates according to the behavior of its person. For this reason, it is not visible to the person, neither in an incarnate nor discarnate state. What the soul has stored by way of the behavior of its person, cannot simply be cast off by the person and dismissed by deliberately forgetting, he cannot undo it. After the death of our body, our soul takes with it the positive as well as the negative aspects that have not been cleared up, that corresponded to its development as a human being. Whether the former person forgot or wanted to forget, or whether he no longer remembers, doesn't make a difference. Recorded is recorded. The path of the soul after the demise of its physical body, according to the natural law, the material body belongs to the earth. At the moment the body passes away, the soul very gradually detaches itself from the mortal shell, the body, and immediately belongs to another aggregate consciousness, a dimension that is appropriate to it. The connection to people, who were very close to the one who has now passed on, who lived with him for many years, who acquired some things together with that person in the temporal and built some things for their families or acquaintances, which were of value to them, can become a problem for the person who has now died. Those who remain behind do not see the soul of the person they were close to. However, conversely, the soul sees the people with whom it lived and was active, because the same magnet, whether human being or soul, attracts the same aspects again and again. During the initial time after the physical death of the person, his soul still finds itself among those who were close to it. It still lives in the notion of its value as a human being in all that brought the human being a sense of home, security, gain, prestige and the like, that is, what was meaningful to the person. The soul of this person cannot simply disengage. The magnetism to the values of external things is too strong. The magnet is the surroundings in which the former person felt well, where he nurtured his habits, where he was well regarded, where he had his possessions, made profit, etc., etc. If it cannot simply disengage itself from this, despite the knowledge that it is now a soul, then it remains invisible in its familiar earthly surroundings, invisible to the human eye. At first, it refuses to believe the impulses that reach it in terms of its further development as a soul, because they stimulate in it many things that have not been overcome, which, as a human being, it wanted to forget or forgot. The inputs in the material macrocosm become ever clearer in the soul. The forgotten becomes visible in different sequences of pictures that indicate to the soul that it rectify the negativity that is again current and recognizable in its feelings and sensations, that is, that it clear them up, detach itself from them and then be able to forget them. All the suffering, the sorrow and the pain, which we have caused to our fellow man through our egoism or indifference, comes alive in these picture sequences. Since these pictures are the engraving in our soul, we cannot simply shake them off. Instead, we will experience them on our own soul body. Pain, grief, loneliness, being forsaken, suffering and worry that others had to experience because of us, we will endure and suffer as a soul on our soul body. This is why Jesus the Nazarene taught the following, and we repeat, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Beyond the sending consciousness of the coarse material macrocosm, a finer material planetary constellation from the finer material macrocosm gives, in the form of energy, hints to the soul regarding the path to its further place of destination. If we human beings become aware of the fact that every person dies for himself alone and that each one goes the path of forgetting alone, then it is much easier for us to understand that each one of us is a specific individual who surrounds himself with the energies of his own personal inputs. This is his aura, here, as a human being, and in the beyond, as a soul. Each person has his own specific daily routine with its individual character. Everything that goes on during the day, all the variations of behavior of the person are followed by the material macrocosm. The whole scale of needs, all habits and mannerisms, are energies, often registered in the macrocosm as a concentrated collective of like energies. No energy is ever lost. All these personal things and customs, which, in the end, are a part of each individual person, are accorded by the material macrocosm. Even when these traits, which automatically are a part of existence in our three-dimensional world, don't burden us, they are nevertheless a part of the path of forgetting. Everything that we accomplish as a matter of course each day, because life on Earth simply requires this, the discarnate soul doesn't need any more. It lives in another dimension, which is finer material. But it retains the habits for a long time, because every action is energy. To elucidate, I repeat, everything that is part of being a human being, a part of the three-dimensional world, even if it is not a burden for the soul, is nevertheless taken into the other world, into the beyond. Even those things that don't burden it have to be discarded on the path of forgetting. However, everything that is burdensome for the soul is recorded by the planetary constellations of the finer material macrocosm. Substantial burdens caused by the person can be a grievous engraving in his soul and, as already mentioned, can also form in the material macrocosm as a so-called matrix, also called a cocoon. Through this, a very heavily burdened soul is given the possibility to incarnate again. It will feel the urge for this if it cannot let go of its previous actions as a human being and wants to live as a human being again. And when two people procreate a child, a man and a woman, who have a similar radiation as the engraving of the aforementioned soul, the soul will do everything it can to be with these parents as a newborn human child. There are no coincidences. The same and like things attract each other. A discarnate soul, bound to its former surroundings. So, nothing happens by chance. Everything is guided, everything is directed, everything comes into movement at the right time and is manifest sooner or later. Many a soul that has tied itself to the temporal as a human being has great difficulty, for example, to disconnect itself from places, countries, money and possessions. The surroundings, which were agreeable and useful to its former person, bind many a soul. Sensitive people notice the presence of the soul of a person who died shortly before. Often, there are reports that the deceased mother, or father, grandfather, grandmother, or even, when a child has died in the family, is still nearby, to be sure, invisible, but tangibly present. People of less sensitivity, people who affirm this world as the sole reality, will dismiss such feelings of perception as maudlin sentimentality or a figment of the imagination. It is conceivable that many a soul can disengage itself from its customary surroundings only with great difficulty, if, as a human being, it was surrounded by great wealth, by an extravagant lifestyle, by festivities and luxury, if it lived in beautiful landscapes, if it acquired prestige through its possessions and much more. Everything that a person considers as his own and that he has tied to himself is for such a soul an impediment to separate itself from this binding style of life. If the soul cannot detach itself from its surroundings, then it may, perhaps, continue to live among the people with whom it had lived and enjoyed its life as a human being in abundance and wealth. It tries to include itself in the conversations of its intimates, but it isn't heard or perceived. For such a soul, this is not only very painful and unacceptable, these situations often stimulate it to incarnate again, to become a human being again. Another, similar example, a sensitive person who was very close to a deceased person feels a shiver running up his spine every now and then, and he thinks, the soul of the father who recently died is still here. It listens and participates in the conversations. The impression cannot be wiped away, and this person says, I feel it quite clearly. Why does this person feel a shiver along his spine? Because the soul present touched this person, it wants to convey something, to establish communication. The shiver that many a person feels is the radiation of the finer material body, of the soul, the aura, which surrounds the soul. The radiation of the soul is much cooler than the radiation of the body, and this is why the brief shiver along the spine, with its neural pathways, regardless of the milieu in which the former human being grew up and lived, the soul mostly remains at this place for a certain period of time and tries to continue to live as usual in its previous circle of activity as a human being. Not seldom, a soul has to painfully recognize via the irradiation of the macrocosm that it is no longer perceived by its former friends, by its family. The material macrocosm acts upon the soul as an intensity of radiation and tries to help it realize its situation. The soul has to eventually realize that the surroundings, which it had once grown to love, are no longer available to it, and that now, very gradually, and via its inputs, it has to follow the path that the person predetermined for it through his behavior. Through the radiation, it is stimulated to follow the path of forgetting via the material macrocosm into a corresponding plane of purification, to the planetary constellation of like vibration. Once the soul has grasped what it is all about, it gradually feels the pull to other life situations, that is, to inputs of its life, to its active inputs, and begins to turn away from its former surroundings as a human being, following the path of forgetting step by step. In doing so, much of which was once so meaningful will become unimportant to it. Among other things, the path of forgetting means to very gradually, often with great difficulty, detach oneself from those things which gave the soul as a human being security and a hold on life. Slowly, very slowly, the soul dissociates itself from its previous circle of activity as a human being. It follows the path, shown to it by the material macrocosm and a planetary constellation in the finer material cosmos. A soul that has learned to interpret the radiation and guidance of both cosmoses begins to let go, even when the longing for its former life on Earth still draws it bindingly. But its realization, be it ever so bitter, is then its path, the path of forgetting, so that, in another dimension, it may remedy what still adheres to it. The soul gradually lets go of the feelings of warmth and coldness, of sleeping and awakening, of familiar objects, of beautiful landscapes, of a luxurious life, of feudal eating and drinking habits, also, for example, of the comfortable chair it had grown to love as a human being, in which its person sat hours upon hours, enjoying the view of the idyllic landscape. To all intents and purposes, every person and every soul has to find and take up in itself the path to its origin by fulfilling the laws of infinity. To repeat, as soon as the soul withdraws from the needs and customs of its former person, from its habits and luxurious life, the forgetting begins. The sensitive person then notices that the soul is no longer nearby. Once the soul follows the path of forgetting, other memories will awaken in it. These are aspects of wrong attitudes that are a part of the engraving in its soul, and which, on this, its temporary destination, it should recognize, repent of and discard in a finer material planetary constellation. On the path of forgetting to a finer material planetary constellation, further tasks of purification are stimulated, which the soul carries as an engraving. On its path, its body radiation also changes. The soul takes on other facial features. It wears a finer material soul garment, an ethereal garment, which, in its nuances of color, corresponds to the radiation consciousness of the soul and to the planetary constellation in the beyond allotted to it. The life that I chose myself, the path of another soul can be the following: perhaps the former person who is now deceased created a matrix in the material cosmos via its soul, to perhaps reincarnate as quickly as possible. The lawful interrelationships are explained to the soul and the indication is given to it that repeated incarnations are not the will of God. Higher beings show the soul, which is pressing toward a new physical birth, its engraving, its present wrong attitudes against the life of unity, of freedom, of the love for God and neighbor, so that already in the beyond, it may recognize these, repent of them and clear them up. Many a soul doesn't want this, because its matrix is emitting its once wrong human attitudes to it, that is, the matrix is bringing them into movement. Then, despite the teaching, the unregenerate soul may figure on the possibility to again acquire a new body on Earth. Light-filled beings, which accompany it, will show the soul the important aspects of its existence as the new human being, that is, what would be in store for it, in case it were to incarnate again. A poem, attributed to Hermann Hesse, can be helpful to us so that we recognize that the soul is never alone, that it is always taught, that it is always guided, that something always comes into movement in it. The poem is called, "The Life That I Chose Myself." Before I came into this earthly life, I was shown how I would live it. There were troubles, there was grief, there was misery and the burden of suffering. There was the vice that was to seize me, there was the delusion that captivated me. There was the quick rage, in which I rampaged, there was hatred, arrogance, pride and shame. But there were also the joys of those days filled with light and beautiful dreams, where neither lamentation nor vexation exist, and everywhere the fount of gifts flows free. Where love gives the bliss of letting go to the one still bound in the garment of earth. Where the one who escaped human pain thinks high thoughts as though a chosen one. I was shown the bad and the good, I was shown the fullness of my failings, I was shown the wounds that ran with blood, I was shown the angel's helping deed. And as I so beheld my life to come, I heard a being ask the question, if I dare to live this life, for the hour of decision was at hand. So once more I weighed all the bad. This is the life I want to live. My answer resounded strong and decided, and I quietly took on my new fate. And so, I was born into this world, so it was as I entered a new life. I don't lament when often I'm not glad, for I affirmed it when not yet born. From the words of the poem, we can see that before a new incarnation, as souls we are always thoroughly instructed about what to expect in a life on Earth, that is, what our starting position or what certain constellations in the earthly existence will be, our predispositions, etc. etc. What we do with this, whether we develop positively or not from this, lies in the freedom of every single one of us, the spiritual structure of the fine material body of divine beings, the spirit body burdened by unlawful energies, the soul. We've already heard about divine beings, whose fine material body is called a spirit being. It is made up of a particle structure, as opposed to our physical body, which consists of cells, bones, tendons, ligaments, nerves, etc. The divine body is an absolutely flexible structure, through which radiates the immeasurable primordial power, the law of the eternal being, the all-consciousness. To imagine the particle structure, the scales on a fish can serve as a comparison. The particles of the divine body lie like scales, row upon row, next to, and over, each other. Each particle is permeated by the light of the universe, the all-consciousness, the law of the kingdom of God that is omnipresent. The spiritual, divine body unceasingly receives the primordial radiation of the being via the divine core of being, which is the heart of the spirit body. The primordial power of the being, the cosmic all-consciousness, consists of seven primordial basic powers. Because God is unity, each radiation of the primordial power is contained in all the others, Consequently, the seven primordial powers radiate in 7 × 7 facets into infinity and, among other things, are effective in all the particles of the spiritual body, as well as in each step of evolution in the consciousness of the different forms of life. For this reason, each particle is filled by the cosmic all-consciousness, the light of infinity. The mentality of a spirit being, we human beings would speak about specific abilities, can be recognized in its radiation, which is related to one basic power, respectively.